This message is called Fruit Time. I love these titles, dude. I got this in the night, this phrase from the Lord. We're going to be talking about what is possible and what is to come. First of all, I want to say, though, I feel God's heart for all of you that are truly surrendering to the Lord and saying, whatever you want, Lord, you take it. Like, I feel like He's beyond pleased with each of you that have taken the time to sit before the Lord and let Him show you. And I know we heard some testimonies, but it's a really, really big deal to Him. It's a really big deal. And He's going to be able to use us in a deeper, more powerful way, because we're surrendering everything. And, you know, when I'm hearing, and I know some, and many people didn't share tonight. I know some things are very personal, so they might not come out yet, but I'm like, if people only knew what freedom felt like,
yeah.
I mean, they would have done it. They would have paid $1 billion for it. I was telling Dave, if you gave me $1 trillion right now, nothing would compare to what I'm feeling, what I've experienced in freedom and following Him. Like, $0 could pay this. Like, I'm like, if I could bottle this up, you know, people would pay billions for it. The freedom. And it's this lie from the enemy that says, you need it. You deserve it. You know, come on. It's just a little entertainment. It's just a little drink. It's just a cup of coffee. You know, it's just a horse. Come on. You need that. You need it. And like we've heard, people are surrendering things, and then God's like, okay, keep the horse for the day, have volleyball for a day. But it's just this freedom of saying, Lord, you have full access. You have full access into my life. And when you do that, you will be the most joyful, the most free, the most connected with God that you'll ever be in your entire life. So if some of you are still struggling with certain things about where God has pointed out, again, it's not about being religious and everybody has to have their whatever, because everybody's is different. If you notice, it's not all the same, the things that God has been speaking. I'm still drinking coffee. So God, I said, God, if you want coffee, go ahead. But it's just that surrender. It's that, anything, you know, anything you want. I don't care. Cause you know what? It was so worth it to give that to me, that tiny bit of entertainment, but it was so much bigger than I thought. So I just want to plug freedom right now. I just want to plug giving God full access again. I just encourage you guys. It is worth it. And you can trust God. And I realize some people, I'm not saying anybody in here, but they don't know God well enough. They don't know the Father well enough that they feel safe giving Him everything. Like, if I give Him everything, maybe He won't be nice to me, or maybe my life will be horrible, or, you know, like this kind of thing. If I really give Him everything, I'll be so bored, or it's a lie from the pit of hell. Can you imagine? You're giving the God of all gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, full access to you, and now you're like, now use me, let's do this, and He's just like, joy, peace, revelation, my voice, you know, nothing could hold you back. Like, I was talking to my mom today, like, with this thing where she's writing the letter, I was like, you know, Mom, it could have been like there's some weights you're holding onto, and you're trying to, you know, do the Hebrews 11, like, where you're running this race with endurance, but you're like, it's kind of heavy, it's hard, this race is hard, and He's like, here, Vicky, just do this. Uh-huh. Right? Like, because when you have things in your hands, how well do you run? You know, with as heavy, even 5-pound weights, right? So, it's beautiful. So I could go on and on about how pleased God is with each and every one of you that are truly letting God do this in your lives. And again, what's it for? Of course, to have, you know, a closer relationship, all about intimacy with Him. Which is unbelievable, unreal. that we can be this close to him. And every day we can get closer to him, and every day more intimacy with him. So I know I always say I literally can't wait to be 90. I'm so excited to be 90 one day, because I know, I mean, 54, can you imagine at 90 what we're, or if you just add how many years, 30 years right now, where would we be? If we're right here right now with the Lord, what will it look like when we're 90? Closeness with the Lord, you know? Maybe we'll be glowing. You know, people are like, what's on you? Like, you're glowing, right? Like, yeah. So I don't know. I don't know. Again, there's a lot of things. 30 years is a super long time. So I'm so excited. If you're struggling with something and you want to be free, but you don't really want to be free, please talk to somebody. I'm happy to talk to you. I know Emma and Sal could, my mom, Robin, you can meet with anybody, Aaron, Aubrey, whatever, Joseph, Emily, Patrick, anyway, you name it. You can meet with, we have so many amazing people in here that if you're struggling with some area that you want freedom, but you don't want freedom, or you want freedom, you don't know how to get freedom, please, please, we have amazing people in this group that you can get. There's so many people that can pray with you for freedom and support you in this. We're a group that's all about freedom, giving everything to Jesus. So the good news is, it's not just for giving up, I gotta not do that or give up that or whatever. It's about fruit. It's about fruit time. So we're going to read John 15. Okay, also a little grace for me. So I have been feeling that something is brewing. So I've been reading John 14 through 17 of Romans 8 all week. Just over and over and over and over and over and over. And I'm like, there's a message here. There's a message here. I don't know really what it is. So I'm just diving off a cliff because I don't have normal sermon that I would normally do. I don't have. So I'm just diving off a cliff today, and I feel safe that I can do that with you guys. If it's different, it feels different already because I don't have it all laid out. So anyway, have grace on me. We got the Bible, though, so we're going to be good. All right, so John 15, I love the Amplified. Can you guys see it, or do you have it? Whoa, it's a lot, isn't it? All right. I am the true vine, Jesus is speaking, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that continues to bear fruit, he repeatedly prunes so that it will bear more fruit. Now, I had a dream. I'm not going to go into the details of the dream, but the basic meaning was it's fruit time and the pruning has stopped for now. And I was thinking it was just for me, but I'm like, actually the whole group, because in the last 10 months, there's been a lot of pruning in the group, a lot of revelation of programming and lies and that we've been believing and being set free of a lot of stuff. So I was like praying about it today. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is actually for the group. So it's a season of fruit, right? So there's a season of pruning, and then there's a season where we're going to see fruit in our own lives and then through our lives. So it's called fruit time. Can you guys say fruit time? All right, so get ready to see fruit. And I know we've already been seeing fruit just with surrendering, which has been blowing my mind. Like, I feel like my eyes are this big, you know, and I'm seeing answers to prayer like this. People having experiences with God they haven't had before. God intervening in situations. That's just crazy. It's not that I'm praying for them. It's that this is what's happening in their life, and they're telling me. So it's exciting. You know, when I used to hear the word pruning, I thought, that is terrible. Pruning. Ugh. And we went through a pruning. I think the last pruning was when we moved from Qatar to Kuwait. And then there was this pruning, just the last 2 years, another time of pruning. And that... I have to say now, I love pruning. I could never have said that before. But when I see what God has done, pruning means more fruit. Pruning means more fruit. So, and you've got Jesus the whole time anyway during the pruning process. So it's like you have the fullness of the Holy Spirit living in you no matter what. No matter what we go through. No matter what pruning. The Holy Spirit is never pruned, right? So the Holy Spirit is never pruned. I just want to tell you guys, did you guys hear that? The Holy Spirit is never pruned in your own life. It's the exterior stuff. It might be finances. It might be, I'm just talking about my own thing has been ministry, friendships, living area, place. I mean, everything was just, I felt like Dave and I were like this twig with these, just all these little sticks coming out. And I'm like, we had to start over in every way. And, but now the fruit that I'm experiencing, I'm like, I love pruning. I love pruning. Thank you, Lord, for the pruning. It's so awesome. And so my dream was very funny because the Lord was basically saying, stop asking me to prune you because you're done right now. You know, it's like, I thought it was so funny. And I was like, because I'm like, Lord, you want to do more? You want to do more? Like, I love this. Like, I love being free. I've never felt so free. And so it was so worth it, you know? And I had a dream where he's like, no, it's not now. Now it's time to have fruit. So stop asking to be a little twig. So I just, you know, just wanted to celebrate the pruning that God is doing. I mean, celebrate that because the fruit is coming. The fruit is coming. Oh, yes, yes. Thank you, Mom. It's like the fullness of Him is always there. So He's never, it's not like when you're pruned, He becomes like a tiny pit twig in you. You know, like, so no matter what, you have His fullness. No, Jesus, don't lose, no. We want your connection. So it might be everything on the outside is pruned, but in here, it's never pruned. Like, it's always the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Yes, so I was going to read that. Thanks for reminding me. So I'm just going to go back. You don't have to go there, Dave. But in John 14, 16, this is what the Holy Spirit is in you. Listen to these words. Okay, the Holy Spirit, He lives in you, right?
Yes.
Lives in you, lives in you, lives in you. Right? I'm just pointing so you guys know. He lives in you. He lives in you, Mark. He lives in you guys. He lives in you, right? Yeah. Joseph, He lives in you. This God lives in you. He's the helper. Oh, okay. Okay, there we go. All right. Just tell me when you're doing that and I'll take a break so people can... Oh, yes. So, and I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper. So look at who lives in you. Helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, and a standby to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. So what do you need? Whatever you need, He's in you to give it to you. He's in you to give you all of that, to give you any of those. Anything lacking in that? Is there anything lacking in that description of the Holy Spirit? Do you ever feel like you lack? So I want you guys to, I just want you to remember this Holy Spirit that lives in you will never be taken from you or pruned from you. So it will never be like, in the next season, you're only going to have the comforter. This thing, these have been taken away because you're being pruned. No. You will always have the fullness of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. The fullness, right? So after me, you're gonna say after me. Helper.
Helper.
Comforter.
Comforter.
Advocate.
Advocate.
Intercessor.
Intercessor.
Counselor.
Counselor.
Strengthener.
Strengthener.
Standby.
Standby.
The Spirit of Truth.
Spirit of Truth.
Are you guys feeling it?
Yes.
Patrick's feeling it. No, really though. Do you feel like you lack something? Like, just, I mean, honest. Like, do you feel like I actually lack something? But when you look at that list, do you lack anything? But you feel like you lack, right? If you feel lonely, I want to tell you the truth. You are not alone.
Right.
If you feel lonely, then there's something you're not tapping into the Holy Spirit.
Right.
If Paul can be in prison and say, rejoice in the Lord always. He was alone in prison. He wasn't lonely. So just take the loneliness out. If there's any area that you feel lonely, You have a constant best friend living in you. You know, this whole living in me didn't hit me, I think, until like, I don't even know years anymore, maybe 5 years ago, not that long ago. And I remember I woke up one morning, God lives in me, 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 God lives in me. Wait, what? What? God lives in me? Then what's the problem? God? God, like you asked me, can you pray God will be with me on that flight? God's in you. Can you pray with me that God will provide for that? God's in you. He's all provision. He's all strength. He's all power. He's all counselor. He's all advocate. He's all more than a conqueror.
That's right. Very good. I love.
Love. Perfect love. I mean, so if you, I don't know, I'm not that strong or I'm not that worthy. Join the club. Join the club. But guess who is? Everything and complete is the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit. You want to know the truth about a situation? Ask the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
And I know I've talked about this before. I did feel like God wanted me to highlight the Holy Spirit, so this is turning a different way, but that's okay. So, there's a way that you can walk as a Christian and you just do what you want and then you hope he blesses you. You hope so. That's such a common theme because I'll say, someone will say, yeah, you know, I feel like I'm going to move there. Right. Oh, did the Lord tell you to? No, I want to. I can do what I want. It's my dream. I want it. If we have God living us, since we have God living in us, why aren't we letting him lead us?
Yep. Right.
Why wouldn't we want that? He's God, and he's our Father, and he loves us, and he has the best for us. It might not be the best we think, oh, this is what is best for me. He knows what's best for me. I trust him because I love him, and I've grown in a relationship with him, and that's also why we're always plugging personal relationship with God and spending time alone, you and the Lord every day. Because then you will grow to know this Father, this God, that you can trust him. That you can say, my life's yours. Whatever you want to do, you do it. I've experienced it. And I've lived in other countries that are kind of crazy. But I felt I'm the luckiest girl in the world that I was called to the Middle East. I feel like the most blessed girl in the world, right? Just because I was walking in his perfect will for my life, and there's a fullness in that, you know? And I wasn't looking at the lack. I remember people would come to Qatar or Kuwait, and they'd be like, this is so ugly here. And where? They'd come from some beautiful place, you know, like Ireland or something, you know? Oh, I miss the green, I miss the grass, I miss the trees. You know, they'd always kind of complain. And I'm like, there's a tree right there. You know, I literally had like Holy Spirit goggles on. I'm like, did you see the grass in the roundabout? It's amazing. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we have a ton of roundabouts there. You know, or, you know, there was like one string of lights in the mall in a shop because they don't sell their Christmas. There's Christmas lights! There's Christmas lights! You know, it's like, it depends on how you want to see things, right? But when you surrender and you're like, I want what you want, God, there's a fullness that comes that doesn't make sense. It's so beautiful. So again, he is living in you. So no matter what happens in your life, no matter what pruning, no matter what financial situation, no matter what job, no matter what friends, no matter what community, no matter what, the fullness of God lives in you. The helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby. Okay, so some of you, and I know we asked each other for prayer, but can you imagine? Can you imagine? Have you ever thought of that? It'd be really cool to have an intercessory team for you personally. You do. The Holy Spirit is your intercessor. What? The one that's hearing the clearest. Like, you might ask me to pray, and I'm like, okay, I'll pray. I might, you know, like, been praying a lot for Saul and Emma, been praying a lot for Chelsea and Daniel, you know, and I'm like, Lord, anything you want to show me? I'd love to give them a message. I'd love to show them this. I'd love to do that, you know, and I'm not getting anything, but guess what the Holy Spirit is getting? Everything. He's got the download. He's got the I'm going to tell them to go there that day, and then I'm going to arrange that. It's a little later than they wanted, but, you know, I got this all arranged. Like, he's your intercessor. The Holy Spirit is your intercessor. So if you think, oh man, no one's praying for me today. I don't know. I got it. He's already praying. He already prayed. He was already praying for you before you thought to ask for someone else to pray for you. Interceding, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Interceding, that's also Romans 8. Yeah, amazing. Okay, so that's the good news about the pruning, that you always have the fullness of God, and that pruning is beautiful, because pruning is going to lead to fruit. Amazing fruit. Okay, we're going to keep going here. Okay, go to 3. You are already clean because of the word which I have given you. So the word is the teachings which he gave them, right? That he was always teaching them in the Gospels. Okay, so a word about the word. So what can go very wrong is if you don't know the word, and then you're saying you hear from the Holy Spirit. If you're prophesying or you're trying to hear from God and you're not saturated in the word, stop. Stop. Because I know some people that went to a friend of mine and said, the Holy Spirit told me to get an abortion.
Ooh, wow.
So guess what word she's not in? She's a Christian. Pretty strong Christian. She went to a friend of mine and said that. She's heard two people tell it to her. The Lord told me this. And also we hear some people say, like, I had some friends, just going to say some friends, because they're not in here, just in the world. Their husband wasn't meeting their needs. So their friends told them, you should get a divorce, because you need to be happy. You need your husband to meet your needs. Get a divorce. No problem. Come on. Some women then say, the Lord told me to get a divorce for those situations. That's not the Lord. It's not the Lord. No. There's nothing about, by the way, in marriage, your needs being met. That's another ball. Boom. I don't know if you guys listened to the Dan Mueller today, but whoa. Right? What'd you say?
Nothing in life is our needs being met.
Right. Right. Yeah. So it's so freeing to think he meets our needs. He meets our needs. If there's anywhere you're thinking, that husband or my wife, they don't really meet my needs, or my friends, or my mom, or my dad, or my kids, they're not meeting my needs. They're not meant to.
Yeah.
And you're going to be super discouraged and disappointed every single day. You know, the reason, and I know, guys, we're listening to Dan Mueller. If you're not, please listen to him. If you're not, please listen to him. You wake up in the morning to love, not be loved. You are already completely loved by God. You are already completely loved. You are already complete. You have the fullness of love. What humans give you is crumbs, anyway. Crumbs. And they hit you and like, oh, that felt good. Well, done. Okay. Then now what? You know, it never fills, right? So just know, you wake up to love. You wake up to serve. Just like Jesus came here to serve, right? Because he came in the fullness. That is what we get. We get to wake up to love. It's so freeing that I don't have to think, hope Dave meets my needs today. Hope he tells me he loves me 5 times, 10 times. Hope he tells me I'm beautiful because I worked hard at my makeup today. You know, I'm feeling kind of insecure. I hope he says, like, you're an amazing person. I used to do that. I used to, like, he didn't tell me, like, how amazing I am today. And then maybe he would, but it'd be like, then the next hour, I need it again. You know, it's like so freeing to be filled with him and then not need. I need love. I need your attention. I need your affirmation, right? No, it's so freeing because humans, let me tell you, every single human on the planet will disappoint you. every, even the most perfect, is that making funny faces?
No, we just know he's brewing something.
He's brilliant.
Like a joke? A joke?
Yeah, I'm waiting for a joke.
I told him, please don't tell jokes during my sermon.
Oh.
Sorry, if you have one that needs to come out, you can.
You're so excited.
So, with the Word, you really want God, you want to saturate yourself with the Word, and not for knowledge, but for transformation in your heart, right? So if you're reading, because guess what? I know people that are reading the Word, but you wouldn't know, because they're not becoming the Word. They're not becoming the Word. They have it all memorized. They can quote. They can quote, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You can quote it. But then they're like, how come you didn't call me yesterday? I thought you were going to call me. You didn't send me a seat at church? I don't know why you didn't send me a seat. You know? Or they're giving their spiritual resume every second. When someone gives me their spiritual resume every second, I'm like, why are they acting like an orphan? Don't need to give me that. Just love. Just love. Just love. Right? So the Word, we need to be not just reading it. Like, I can say this all the time, right? I'm like Dan Moore. I give the same message every time. Anyway, but we're not just reading it because we did our Bible reading for the day or because we're doing the year plan. No. Year plan is great. Year plan is great. But if you're not becoming the Word, if the Word, you're not talking and dialoguing with God through the Word, Lord. Okay, what does that mean? Like what I'm doing right now, I'm explaining what I do with the Lord, right? So you are already clean because of the Word which I gave you, the teachings which I've discussed with you. We have to be in the Word a lot, a lot, a lot. Then we will know what the truth is. This is the only way through the Word. The only way. Because then if you're getting words from the Lord and hearing from Him and prophesying, again, you can get all kinds of crazy stuff. I'm sure you have. I've heard crazy things people say that was not God. That was not God, but they're Christians. And they've been in church for a really long time. Now, if you, and this is also a sign of someone that's humble and really wanting to remain in Him. If you have an idea, and you're like, I really feel like God spoke this. I would go to somebody that's more mature than you and say, what do you think? I feel like I need to move to Iowa and have a farm. What do you think? This is what different things that have happened. What do you think? Let's pray together and seek the Lord on it. You know, like don't just, I heard God, I'm going to do this. A mature person, a humble person will say, what do you think? That's what Dave and I saw. Overseas, people would come, even though they were in our church, they were the younger people than us, maybe like 20 years, and they'd say, God told me da-da-da-da-da, so this is what I'm doing. And they would be like, so you're just informing us. You're not asking us for any feedback. And they weren't, and we knew it wasn't God what they were doing. It wasn't the decision. We'd sit down with them and try to say, this does not make sense. This is not good for you. And they're like, I can't believe you said that. God told me. You know, it's like, whoa. And sure enough, the person didn't end up doing it because it wasn't a God idea. But I'm just saying, have the Word in you, but a mature person, again, will talk to other people that are, I would say, find somebody more mature than you and ask them, or at least your peer, and someone that will, if you need a kick in the butt, will kick your butt. I have someone like that in my life, two of them. One of them's there. One of them's my friend, Dina. So you want to have these people in your life that keep you sharp, that challenge you. Okay, so you think you heard that. Like she'll say that. Okay, you heard that. Well, how did you hear it? Well, what do you mean how I heard it? Like, tell me your process. Like, how did you hear that? Because I'm not sensing that's God. Oh, okay. let me back it up here, you know. So I just love that. Like, I love that sharpening, you know, just sharpening, letting... The Christian life is supposed to be together in community. Don't be afraid to open up and saying, I'm feeling this, I'm sensing this. Would you join me in prayer? What do you think? Do you think this is a good idea? Do you have any advice for me? Because I want to live the life that God wants me to live. But I don't want to get off, and so many people get off. So, yes, be in the Word, and then if you don't understand, again, talk to people, right? We don't have to reinvent the wheel for every Christian. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We can do this together. You guys good?
Yeah.
What time is it?
God time.
Oh, fruit time! And God time.
8:19.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Okay, so 15:4, John 15:4. So, this version says remain in me, but it can also be abide in me. You've heard abide, right? So I'll give you other words for it. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit by itself without remaining in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit or produce evidence of your faith unless you remain in me. So remain can be, here's some words, abide, be anchored in, live in, secured in, live in union with, talk to, live intimately joined to, stay with, connected to. So if you want to use like, I love what Mike Bickle said. He says, if you want to say talk to, so instead of abide, right? So talk to me, like keep the conversation always going. Stay always connected. Talk to me and I will talk to you, right? Stay in this constant, abiding, communing, intimate connection with him. And he will stay that way with you. Right? Because you're like, I want to be connected. I want to be talking to you all the time. I want to be abiding in you, you know, in union with you. And he's like, and I'm back at you. I'm right there. I mean, I could just read that verse over and over and over because I can feel it. You know, when you're reading a verse, and you can also ask God, Holy Spirit, would you come while I'm reading this and make it come alive in me? Like, I want to feel this verse. I want to experience this verse. Could you give me another picture of what this looks like or a situation or I don't know. Can you show me in another way to explain this to me?
You know, it also shows that you've got to do an action. He's not going to just do something. You've got to.
Right.
You've got to want it. You've got to.
Yep. You're right. You're right. Remain in me and I will remain in you. Yeah, so there is that our part. Our part. I'm going to remain. Right? I'm going to abide in him. And I know we're going to talk about what that looks like. But look at the promise of that. Okay, this is bothering me. Sorry. Here we go. So, I remain in me and I'll remain in you. Listen to this. Just as no branch can bear fruit by itself without remaining in the vine. Neither can you unless you remain in me. I'll just go to 5 and then I'll stop a second. I am the vine. You are the branches. He wants to say, you are not the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. And that's what you guys have been doing. And are about to see fruit, lots of fruit. For apart from me, that is cut off from vital union with me, you can do something. No. Nothing. That's big. So, I know we've heard this a lot. Vine, the vine, the branches. You are the vine, I'm the branches. There's songs, there's pictures, everything. But if you think about like how ridiculous it would be if the branch is on the ground there and it's trying to live, it's trying to squeeze out fruit, it's trying to stay alive. You know, it's ridiculous. It isn't it? And I realize this is kind of more of like there's an extreme view, like where you walk away from God, where it, like it's like a Judas kind of thing. But there's also a way of living our Christian life that you act as if you're a branch that's on the side of the road and you're trying to do the Christian life without your vital connection with him. And then that means zero fruit. Zero fruit. You can do nothing if you're not vitally connected to him. Nothing. Now, it might look like something to the world, but it's nothing to him. So the good news is, remain in him. And you will. See, that's another thing. So you're like, I don't know about my life. I don't have fruit. Okay, fruit again. Guess what fruit is? Love, from Galatians 5, right? 22. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, all those things. That kind of fruit. That kind of fruit. That is the fruit that you will bear, no matter what. Fruit in leading people to the Lord. Fruit in praying for people. Fruit in, like, whatever it is, there will be fruit. You remain in Him, it's guaranteed you will have fruit. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. That is awesome. Because some people might say, I'm not seeing fruit in my life. I don't know if I have fruit in my... Wait a minute. Okay, let's back it up. Are you vitally in communion with God all through the day? Are you seeking Him with everything? Are you giving Him everything like we've been? No, I'm not. No. Kind of like mad at God right now. He didn't give me what I wanted. Guys, I've had people say this to me. Not in this room. I always have to say that. I'm mad at Him. He didn't, I wanted that. He didn't give it to me. So I'm just having a break from God right now.
Wow.
And they're depressed. But they're mad because they wanted what they wanted. God didn't give it to them when they wanted. But you are always, if you remain in Him, abiding in Him, connected to Him, anchored in Him, talking to Him, however, whatever word you want to, staying with Him. Does anyone have a better word they like?
Rooted.
Rooted in Him. That's, there you go. Yeah, rooted in Him. Yes, if you do that, what's guaranteed? Because what time is it? Come on. No, right, come on, think about it. Is that the best news ever? If you continue in your relationship with God and you're connected to Him and you're talking to Him and you're having this amazing relationship, which is why Jesus came back to the earth to save us, to connect us to what we had in the garden with the Father. That's the whole reason Jesus came. And yet people aren't spending time with God and they're not intimate with God. And it's the entire reason Jesus came is to restore us back. Back to what we had at the garden. Back to that. It should be the most treasured thing we have is our relationship with Him. And when we have that, we will bear fruit. And it doesn't have to be perfect. It's not like I have to have a perfect relationship with Him, but where you're talking to Him, where you're anchored to Him, when you're saying, Lord, like, I give you everything in my life, you know, direct me, lead me, show me the truth, you know, you will bear fruit.
Yes.
That is so exciting. That is so exciting because, you know, when we were overseas, I was seeing more fruit than I have maybe when we first got back. I was like, but the truth is I can bear fruit all the time, right? All the time. We can be love, joy. We can have love, joy. I mean, be producing it, having it and producing it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, gentleness, whatever, all the different ones. That is such good news. Can you say, I bear fruit?
I bear fruit.
Yes, I bear fruit. Is that great news?
Yeah.
So when you want to live your life apart from Him, or just kind of like, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I just kind of want to do my own thing. What can you do?
Nothing.
Yes, Mom! It's like a game show. Okay. If anyone does not remain in me, he keeps going on. It's really good. He really, you know, he likes to repeat a lot, which I love. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown out like a branch and withers and dies. And they gather such branches and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Yikes. And that I read some commentaries and they're saying that represents Judas. That's so sad. You guys watching, I'm watching The Chosen, I think, for the fourth time around. Yeah! It's so good. I've seen it, like, again, I'm on the fourth time, almost done with the third season, and I'm crying. Like, I'm crying and I'm thinking, Judas, Judas, why? You know, when you're seeing him there, it's so sad. Anyway, have you got... I know, but I know what he's going to do. I know the end. Anyway, see, that's what God is doing right now. Like, you kind of see with Judas how he had that kind of spiritual comorbidity, like with money. He like, right, he was kind of, you could see it from the time, right? You could see that, like he had something with money. And then sure enough, what was the thing? So that's what I think God is doing too, is that he's uprooting and revealing any spiritual comorbidities in our lives. There were some people we knew that had, they kept it kind of secret, but they had a very, they had a fear of death and diseases. So when COVID came, they were taken out, spiritually taken out. It was, yeah, but they stayed in their house. They wouldn't leave. It was so sad to see, but those things that we don't deal with, then when the fires of life come, that's going to come to the surface, right? So fear of death, fear of sickness. If anyone has that, you got to get rid of that. Get rid of it. Don't have fear. Don't have fear in those areas. Don't have fear of finances. Don't want to do that. Those are spiritual comorbidities. You don't want to have fear of lack. You don't want to have that, because what happens when our finances get squeezed then? I don't know what's coming. I don't know. But we don't want to have that. These underlying fears. That's why, right, God is like, has mercy on us right now. Like, I'm just going to bring you to the surface.
Yeah.
Even though it's super hard to see and ugly. You know, when you think that was there, like you said, Mom, like, I didn't know that was there. I didn't know that was wrong. For me, I'm like, I didn't know that was there. That freaked me out. That mine, I didn't know it was there. That freaked me out. So I'm like, whatever spirit was on me for watching the Hallmarks. I don't know. I don't understand. Yeah. But I was like, I'm so freaked out by myself right now that get it out. Like, I don't want anything. I don't want anything. Like, something left me and I feel different. I do deliverances, right? Like, and I had something. So, you know, I'm like,
and you left it in the habit of holding lantern.
You
go into that habit.
You might get a habit.
And you sense that.
Oh,
she didn't cast it out. She left it in the restaurant.
That sucker left me at warp speed. That was weird.
That's amazing.
I'm telling you. So, again, getting of the spiritual comorbidities, Lord, reveal anything. We don't have to do that right now because it's not pruning time. It's... What time is it? Okay, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, so listen how they define it. That is, if we are vitally united and my message lives in your heart. The $1 million verse. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now again, it's when his words are in us, right? They're vitally, sorry, I got my glasses on, vitally united, and his message lives in our hearts. Then we're asking, right? We're asking for, Lord, give me more love for you. 100% you will get that. Give me more love for you so that I can love you more and love others like you love. That's the whole goal. To love him and to love others as he loves. That's a lot of love. But that's what it is. Ask whatever you wish. So it's like, you can ask, Lord, we need provision. Yes, that's like you guys were saying. That's a given. You will be provided for. But maybe you're like, Lord, I want more joy. I need more joy. I want to love you more. I want to love others more. I want to love the unlovable more. I want, you know, he'll say yes, 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 yes. Right? Because you're in the Word. You know what his will is. You know, okay, Lord, you said if I give you all my anxiety and all my fear and all my stress, I give it to you, and then you give me peace that makes no sense.
Yeah. Yep.
Peace that can sleep in a storm.
Yeah.
You want that kind of peace?
Yeah.
Can you imagine that storm that Jesus was in that boat? And the disciples are screaming. I can imagine, like, the huge waves are coming. The boat has water in it. They think they're going to die. And Jesus is like, What? That kind of peace is available? Give me some of that, right? So that's when you know, when you're in the Word and you know the Word, and it's, you're like, wait, this is my inheritance. This is available for me right now. The cool job, not available. Let's say, like, the cool job right now is not available. The million dollars that you want, not available right now. The amazing house, not available for you right now. The car that you want, not available for you right now. But guess what is available? Always. His love. His peace. His joy. His truth. Always available. 24/7, 365 days a year. Always available.
How many did you say?
65?
Yeah, except leap year.
And that. Yes. Is that good news?
Yeah.
I love good news. I love good news. There's always good news. There's always good news.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we know a lot of people, you guys know people, I know people, that are going through super hard times right now.
Yeah.
Super hard times. And, you know, some people I know overseas, I've never gone through what they're going through. Never. But what I can do is I can point them to the Word. I can point them through, this is what I do for everybody. Just factor yourself in John 14 through 17 or Romans 8 over and over and over again, and I send them Dan Moeller. Because I don't know. I don't know how their life. I don't know how to do it. I don't have the answers, but I know Jesus has the answers. So, again, you're risking, they're risking death, they're, whatever it is, you know, living for Christ, over there, and some people. I mean, it's just, I haven't gone through it, I don't know what to do, but I know Jesus does. So also, if you know people that are in really, really difficult circumstances, you can say, I don't know what it's like to go through what you're going through, but I know Jesus, Jesus has the answers, and He does. He's, not that He went through it, but He knows your every pain. You can saturate yourself in these scriptures and strengthen yourself, because it's not just, oh, for the Americans, because their life is easier. No, it's for the entire world. It's for the trafficked kids that are going to come out. They're going to need this message. They're going to need this message. We're going to have to believe. See, that's the thing is, when we believe it and we've lived it, then we can give it away.
Yeah.
We can be like,
yeah.
I was never trafficked, but I can help you because I know how God helped me. I know I could stand in a very difficult situation, or I know how to trust God. I know how to give Him everything. I know Him. So I can introduce you to Him and He will heal you. My Father is glorified and honored by this when you bear much fruit. So other times that people, I want to honor God. I want to, you know, make Him proud of me. And there it is right there. There it was there. Okay. My Father, right? It's that you're glorifying and honoring Him when you bear fruit. That's beautiful, right? And that fruit is His love, right? So I have loved you. Okay, that's my favorite verse. I can't like go on and on about it, but I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Remain in that love. Do not doubt my love for you. Don't doubt His love for you. Don't. It's a fact. It's the truth. If you keep my commandments, obey my teaching, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in His love. So He's not asking us to do anything that He didn't do, right? I have told you, this is so cool.
Are you skipping 10?
I just said it, actually. So I have told you these things. This is, I love joy, okay? I love joy a lot. So I have told you these things, so that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy may be made full and complete and overflowing. So he's like, this is my message to you, how to remain in me, how to remain in my love, not to doubt my love, to obey me, just as I obey the Father and I'm submitted to the Father, I love you as much as I love the Father, and the Father loves me as much, the Father loves you as much as he loves me. And I want to remain in you, and you're my dwelling place. And I told you these things. Like, he wants us to be joyful, because this is like so much good news. I've told you these things so that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy may be made full and complete and overflowing. I was reading this commentary today, and I never thought of joy like this. So there's love, and then there's joy. So joy, this is so cool. That's why when we pray for people, this is what we're experiencing. Joy comes from expressing the love that comes from abiding in Jesus. So it's the outpouring, right? Joy comes from expressing the love that comes from abiding in Jesus, from expressing it, right? From sharing it with somebody, from, I was thinking expressing love would mean what my mom just did, what you did. You know, you're writing that letter, you're loving, you're obeying God, you are loving. Maybe you don't have the emotion yet, although you said when you started writing it, you did. But you chose to obey in love. That's called obeying, what you did. You didn't feel it, you didn't want to, it was difficult. You obeyed, right? And then by, you're loving by doing that, because love is a choice. It's not an emotion a lot of times. It's a choice. You made a choice, you did it. And from expressing that, that love that comes from abiding in Jesus, the joy comes, right? So when we choose, and even I was just thinking about sharing your faith or praying for people, so you're choosing to let that love come out of you, which then you get this crazy joy.
Yeah.
You know, this, you're like, oh my goodness, I feel so joyful right now from praying for people or taking risk, even taking the risk of sharing the gospel or taking the risk of obeying and loving the one in front of me. What does that look like? Loving the one in front of me. You know, loving that one at work that is not lovable or, because that's what love is too, right? Love is, pardon? Right, yeah. But it's like, love is not based on, do I like that person, right? Love is not based on, did that person nice to me, or do they have my back? No, love is God's love. God's love for that person. You're going to bless them even though they're not kind to you. You're going to affirm them. You're going to think of something nice to say to them. That's called obeying, right? Obeying. Because love is not, it can be an emotion, but it's not always an emotion. It's a choice. I'm choosing to forgive, which is then love, you know? I'm choosing to get out of my comfort zone and pray for somebody. And I'm choosing to offer the kingdom. And even if they say, no, this happened to me yesterday. Do you have this problem? No, we're Jehovah's Witnesses. I was like, oh, okay. Well, do you have anything you want healing for? No. I was like, okay. God bless you. You know what I mean? That's love, though. That's love. Like, even though they didn't want it, that's love. We love like that. But in that, the joy comes from expressing the love. Isn't that interesting? So joy comes from expressing the love that comes from abiding in Jesus. Abiding in him. Okay, I know we're needed to end here. Okay. I just got to read this quickly. 12. This is my commandment. So wondering, what are these obeying commandments? That you love and unselfishly seek the best for one another, just as I have loved you. So this is not just people that you like, people in your circles. It's love others as God loves us. This is my commandment, I'm reading it, that you love and unselfishly seek the best for one another, just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than to lay down his own life for his friends. You are my friends if you keep on doing what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. This is very cool. But I have called you my friends because I have revealed to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have appointed, this is so cool, and placed and purposefully planted you so that you would go and bear fruit and keep on bearing fruit so that your fruit will remain and be lasting, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. So again, wrapping it all up, 17, this is what I command, that you love and unselfishly seek the best for one another. So it's a lot right there. See, he calls us his friends. He tells us everything that he heard from the Father. He will reveal things as you ask him. Like, Lord, you know all truth. You know everything. Reveal that. Like, what do you want to know about him? What do you want to know? Mysteries of the kingdom. What do you want to know? How do I love that person? I don't know. Whatever you want. Like, everything. We can ask the Holy Spirit about everything. Again, so this is the truth, no matter how you feel. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you, and I've appointed and placed and purposely planted you so that you would go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, and that your fruit will remain and be lasting, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you.